Get snacking and get cracking with a snack that packs a protein punch. Pistachios are known for their protein power, fiber, and better-for-you unsaturated fats for a combination that may help you keep feeling fuller longer. Wonderful Pistachios is a good source of protein with zero guilt. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. I love that they come in a variety of sizes and flavors, making this the perfect protein snack for any on-the-go adventure. Check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hello, everybody. Happy New Year.
Yes.
Very first podcast episode of 2024 for Flow Track. I'm Olivia Panay, joined with Ashley Titians. We are super excited to be here with y'all. What an exciting 2023 year it was.
I know. I feel like so much happened last year.
So much happened, but I am just looking forward to what is to come for this year. 2024, we're going to have such an exciting year. Finally here for indoor. Kicking it off in January.
See, I'm like kind of sad because you know me, I love cross country, but I guess we had what, like 5 months cross country
five.
Or something?
Yeah, so 5 months.
I can't believe it's 2024 first off and that it is indoor season two.
So let's get it going. Before we do have a guest who I'm very excited to have us joining us today, I want to really briefly talk about New Year's resolutions. And it's funny that I say that because it does not depend on me. Or you. But what are you kind of looking forward to for this 2024, let's, you know, track year as a whole? What do you want to see happen?
You asked me this question, and I'm like, this is such a broad topic. Like, how am I supposed to pick one? Obviously, it's an Olympic year. You know, lots going on. I don't know why this is the first thing that came to my mind, but the one thing I hope for in 2024, can we see a Yared Nuguse 1500-meter Olympic gold?
Yes.
I don't know why that was the first thing that came to my mind. I want to see it. I want to see it happen.
I want to see that happen too. I think that's a great pick. I think for me, of course, I'm going to stick to the sprint side. I feel like the 200 world records, it's just time to just take them down. I know Usain Bolt said no one is touching his 1919, but after a season that Sharika Jackson had, running a 21:41 in the 200 meters is absolutely insane. And to think about that the world record is 21:34, that's in jeopardy. And of course, I'm rooting for Noah Lyles to take that down. So that is where I'm at with all
this. Interesting. Kind of a hot take there.
Might be a hot take. But that, hey, that's my New Year's resolution. That's
resolution or hope? It's not really a resolution. You're not changing anything. You're just hoping it happens.
I'm cheering for a lot of world records to go down, especially in the sprints. Okay, Ashley, I'm excited for our guest for today.
Yes, me too. And we have he's a very special guest. Let's be frank about that.
He is very...
I feel like this guy's become like a viral sensation on social media. Like, this guy, like, he has it. Today we are joined by Quincy Wilson, who is the underclassman phenom from Bullis School in Maryland, and he has been taking on the high school elite sprinting world by storm as a freshman last year. He set not one, not two, not three, but four indoor freshman class records and won the New Balance indoor national title in the 400. He also took fourth in the 400 at the USATF U20 Outdoor Championships in Eugene last July. And he's currently in his sophomore indoor track season, and he currently ranks as the second fastest athlete in the country in the 600. And he's going to continue his indoor season at VA Showcase, this weekend in Virginia Beach, which will be live on Flow Track and Mile Split. So, Quincy, thank you for joining us today.
Hey, thank you for having me. Thank you for having me.
I know we also said this off air, but Monday was your birthday, so happy belated birthday as well. So kicking off a very strong season for you. So Quincy, as Ashley mentioned, four freshman class records. I don't think that's never really been done. I haven't really looked into it, but I feel like that is
That's a huge accomplishment. That is absolutely insane. What do you think separates you from just the rest of the competitors, just knowing that you have four class records to your name right now?
Well, thank you for my birthday message in the beginning. I just think it's a blessing. Coming from Virginia, where I had a lot of support and I had to move for military, coming here, it was a new start for me. And I started off with my indoor season and it was very new for me. And so to come out on the track and run four records, it means a lot, because the only thing that I had was my team that I knew really, and my team was able to uplift me at all times and make sure that like I was on the right path. So I think that leaded me to the records that I had. It was a great team and everyone believing I could do it.
Mm-hmm. Now the four records were the 300, 400, 500, and 600, which is incredible. Pretty big range, if you ask me. Like if I was to be, I've ran the 300 and 400, I've never done a 500 or a 600. You could not pay me enough to do that. But what would you say what is your favorite indoor event and why?
My favorite event is probably the 500. I think it's the 500 because it's like it's in the mix of like both of the 400, 600, and the 300. I think the 500 you get a chance to show it all. You get to show your 400 strength and be able to show the 600 strength that last 100 of the 500. And I think it's just a great race because I was only able to run it two times, and the first time I ran, I believe I ran 104, and then I came back and ran 102, and like a week later. So it was just dramatic change. Like I changed like one thing, and my time dropped 2 seconds. So I get to run in VA Showcase again this week, so I'm excited to run it.
Can I add a quick follow up to
that? Yeah, go ahead.
So now we're talking about range here, and I'm thinking, okay, we're going all up to 600. You know what I want to see personally?
Oh gosh,
Quincy, you may not be on board for this.
Oh,
I would
gosh,
love to see you, Quincy, run in 800.
Oh no, she did it. Oh, yeah. She said it.
Do you think you would ever see yourself running in 800?
I may run one an indoor season. I might run one indoor Ooh. Season to get me ready for the
Oh my gosh.
I ran one last year, but it wasn't to my best ability, I don't think. But you never know.
I'm just curious.
Did you run like a 201? Did I make that up?
Yeah, I ran like two flat.
But sorry, I gave you that extra second, my bad. Two flat. That's actually solid.
For a sprinter, yeah.
Yeah. Two flat? Okay. If you were to run the 800, what do you think you could run it in? Like right now. We're going to warm up. We're going to hit the track.
Right now, let's go 152. Let's just go there. Let's go there right now.
Wow! Quincy's like, we're dropping 8 seconds here. I see it happening. 8 seconds.
Okay, so okay, we will keep this on lock. 800 yes. coming up. Shoot us a message when you're about to run that because we will be watching. So I guess shifting back then again, talking about last year, I know Olivia was there on site at New Balance Indoor Nationals where you won that 400 meter title. And I believe in that interview with her afterwards, you said, you know, you felt like you were the underdog going into that meet. And that's kind of how, you know, what you used to fuel yourself to win that title there. You know, how are you feeling now going into the season? Do you still feel like that? I mean, do you still have that like underdog mentality, or is like, has your mindset shifted a bit after, you know, having such a stellar freshman year?
Actually, I think it has shifted. I don't think I'm the underdog anymore, because now it's reverse psychology, honestly. Now the pressure is on me being able to be able to push the races and things like that. So now I have to change my whole game plan, because I'm like, usually now I have to run the race myself. Like I have to get out and things like that, because that's what people expect me to do. So I don't think I'm the underdog anymore, but I still have the underdog mentality because I'm only a sophomore.
Kind of just a piggyback on just your season. We've seen you compete since you were at the AAU Junior Olympic Games, little baby Quincy, and now you're just doing extraordinary things as you enter this high school season. So with that mentality of just coming, telling yourself like, I'm the underdog, but you know, like people know who you are, how do you control just the mental side of that? I feel like it happened just like this, because it's like, we obviously knew who you were, but like when you come and you face the competition as a high school athlete, and again, I know you mentioned like the Bullis school programs, the Bulldogs have really supported you, but how have you just been able to kind of control your emotions and control your nerves as you toe the line for this indoor season and as we move into the rest of your sophomore year?
Yes, ma'am. Like you said, you have to be able to stay focused at all times. I take meditation as a big key for me. Meditation is great, and you always have to thank the Lord for where He's got you. And I believe the Lord has not put anything on my plate that I can't handle. So if I know that, then I believe that the sky is the limit when it comes to running, schoolwork, anything like that, because school is always my number one priority. I have a A average in the school, in the class. So I just use those tactics and bring them to the track. And I just know that I'm just a regular high school athlete that runs track a pretty good time. So it's just like, it's just a normal kid. So meditation is very key though. When you get on the race, you see me on the track, you'll usually see me with my eyes closed. It may say he looks weird or something like that, but yeah, I'm getting in my zone.
I love how Quincy says he's just a regular old kid, which is true, but also at the same time, if you just go down the list of accolades and things that you've already accomplished, it's crazy. And I want to talk a little bit too about last fall, like about 4 months ago or so, you signed an NIL deal with New Balance. And I believe you're probably like one of the youngest high school athletes out there that has an NIL deal with such a big brand. So tell me a little bit more about that signing and, you know, what it meant to you. And also, you know, maybe what are some of the things that come with being an NIL ambassador for New Balance?
So it was when I was in Eugene, I was able to go to the New Balance. I was able to go to the New Balance houses because they have each one of the houses there. And New Balance, ever since I went there, they treated me like family. And like once I knew that I had another family, I have three families, multiple families that I look into. And I knew that New Balance was a family to me. And I knew the athletes that I look up to, Sydney McLaughlin, Trayvon Bromell, and many more athletes. I know that they're in great hands, and know they're not just great runners. They have great character people outside of the track, and that's what I. Track isn't always gonna be here. You never know, because you only can run track for a certain amount of time. And I believe that they're great people, and I use that, and I can just September from now on, it's been great. Getting new shoes. Whenever I'm feeling like my shoes are about to blow up, I can just get a new pair, get new spikes, and it's been amazing. They've been treating me great, and it's like I said, it's like a family.
I love that.
Now, I know we were looking more into your NIL deal and such, and you know how you've been involved and how New Balance has been, you know, part of that family for you now. And we saw that you did some vlogs around, you know, signing your NIL and stuff. So we watched it, we loved it. We need some more vlogs, you know. Is that something you're getting into now?
Yes. I've been looking into like a lot of people, like for example, Masai Russell and things like that. We've grown closer up throughout the past years. So like using tips from her videos and things like that. And also New Balance for Christmas, they got me a new vlog camera. So the quality is amazing. So I can't wait to post a new video. I think a new video will be coming out showcase because I can't wait.
I was going to ask. I was like, are we going to get a VA Showcase vlog? I am all for that. I think that's awesome. Yes, and again, Masai Russell, very talented hurdler too. And again, another Bulldog. So just kind of keeping it in the fam. I love that.
Yes.
All right. So Quincy, kind of shifting gears just a little bit. You already had your season debut at the Marine Corps Holiday Classic right before the new year. You finished second in the 600 by just like half of a step. What's interesting is you went 117.81 and you were just off your personal best, which is 117.80. So like that happened at Millrose in February of last year. So that already tells me your training is working. Like you're a lot stronger right now than where you were last year. So just kind of talk to us, how has training been for you and just how excited you are for the rest of this indoor season?
Okay, so it's a lot of things that go into it. So football and track has been like one of my main sports. And I dropped football this year to focus only on track. So I knew that this was gonna be a year because it's a big U20 year and also Olympic year as well. Right. So I dropped football this year so I could focus on track. And so my training has like Coach Lee and I, we've made a plan on what we want to do. And the training has been going like amazing, but I also tend to, I've gotten like little tweaks in here and there. So I've taken a little breaks and being able to manage my training because it's a long way till June and things like that. And so I've been able to stay focused on the main goal, which is later on down the road in the season, U20 time, maybe the Olympic time. So the training has been going great. And I just ran my first race, like you said, 1:17.81 is a great time. Mm-hmm. I had 2 weeks before that. I had 2 weeks that I didn't run before that. And so I was coming into the race. I was coming to the race like raw without any training. And so I ran 1:17.81 without running in 2 weeks. So I think that it's going to be a great season. Cause if I ran 1:17.81, the first race back, I think it's going to be amazing.
Mm-hmm. I wish we could drop fire emojis. We need to figure that out.
Can we drop emojis?
Fire
like
emojis
hearing
somehow on the screen, because that is just incredible. We're just so proud of you, and especially just,
Thank you.
Taking those 2 weeks to kind of just like reset, kind of regroup yourself and still run the time that you ran is just extraordinary. Just kind of reflecting back on that race, is there anything that you can take away from that you're looking to improve upon as you approach the VA showcase and just the remainder of the season?
So the thing that I took from that race was I got the sophomore class record, and I think about all the positive things in that race. And even though I did lose, I think I take the positive aspect of every race and thinking of like that. I watched the race 1,000 times. I probably watched it more than anyone else has. And I've looked at the things that I did bad in, well, not bad, what things I could critique and things that I did well. And so I've done a lot. I did a lot of things well, but I don't think I executed them great. So being able to execute the race even better, but that race, it brought me back. It made me realize that there's the pressure, like you said, is on my back now, and everybody's gonna give me their best race when I step on the track, and I'm gonna give them my best race as well. So it's gonna be a lot of battles throughout the season, and it's a lot of great athletes that we've seen. The times so far this year are like crazy. They're running fast, so mm-hmm. I can't wait to get back on the track this weekend. So because I've been practicing, I'm back practicing, and so I can't wait to see what I have in store.
Yeah, let's talk a minute about this weekend. Obviously a big weekend. You'll be running the Invitational 500, the VA Showcase, which you said earlier, 500, your favorite event. So I'm sure that's exciting you. And, if you look at this, you're going into this 500. Like you said, you've had, training back underneath your belt. How do you plan on attacking this race?
I plan on just using like my technical things that Coach Lee has taught me throughout this year. Main thing that I'm going to be like focusing on is like form, and because form has like, it changes a lot. Like those seconds that I could, because I'm growing up now, using the little form that like I've always ran with and things like that that I've always had, like some things are going to have to change to be able to get Will Sumner's 101 record, because I love Will Sumner to death, but you never know what I'll be able to be capable of since I was back competing.
Mm-hmm. Kind of on the same line of just like domination, right? Like you go to Bullis School, which is based in Maryland, yes. And the amount of records that y'all have just set over the last several years is extraordinary, from relays to everything and anything in between. What kind of separates the Bullis School program, the Bulldogs, from the other programs? Like, what makes you guys so special, and how does it feel to be a part of that team as well?
So Bullis, we don't usually use the word team. We use it as a family, and I think that's what it is. And so when we, it doesn't even just start on the track. It starts in school and things like that on the sort. Being able to remain straight A's and may have a B here and there, but coach, you have to have a certain grade point average to even travel. And I believe track has the highest grade average in the whole school. And we use that as, we take that into the track. And so Bullis, we've had great people, and that's what inspired me to come here. Ashton Allen, Shania Hall, which is my cousin, Masai Russell, and people like that. They've made it so that we, like people like my age, can come back to the track now and use what they taught us and like provide it. But yes, we use that as one family, and we're one family, and we do things outside of track. And when we come to the track, it's just easy because it's a family. And if we're a family and work together, then I don't think that there's any team that can be able to beat us family wise. They may beat us on the track, but as a family, there is no one touching us as a family.
Me too.
Family.
Family is key.
Family is key, yeah.
Now, Quincy, beyond VA Showcase and for the remainder of your indoor season, what are your goals on the track? I know I heard you when you said you dropped Will Sumner's name out there with the 500 indoor record.
I'm
curious if that's part of the plan, but you know, just how do you, what are your big goals for the rest of the season?
I have like a lot of goals what I want to achieve this season, but being like to come out New Balance indoor and be a champion as well again, that's one of my big goals. But when it comes to like times now, I don't want to set any limits because you never know what I can do, because the training, things could go up, things could go down, and you never know what could possibly happen throughout the season. So there's like no really limits because, like I said, God, he wouldn't put anything that I can't handle. So you never know. I may be out for some weeks, or I may run some crazy times. You never know what will happen. And it's just, the main goal is June. So you never, I can't wait to see what I do this indoor season, but I don't want to set any limits because there's multiple things that I think I can achieve this season.
Love it. All right, Quincy, before we let you go, we have something very special up our sleeve.
We do have something very special up our sleeve.
We have Ashley introduce this part.
So I know we mentioned this earlier. You're someone that, even though you're a high school sophomore, you've been around the sport for a very long time, all the way back to AAU days, and you were a star at the AAU level. And I have to say, us at Flow Track and Milesplit, we have, you know, the footage and interviews to prove it, that you were a star back in the day. So let's see, we want to take a minute and do a little throwback to, what is it, 2017, I believe? 2017, with this interview from the AAU Junior Olympics. Amanda, can you pull that up?
All right, I'm here with Quincy, the 9-year-old boys 400 meter dash champion. Can you tell us about your race today?
So today I started off and I was really excited about running today, and when I got to the curb I didn't know what to do because the guy was beating me, but then I thought, when I come to the curb, and just start sprinting.
How did it feel when you crossed the line in first?
It felt really good because last year I got fourth, and this year it was a really big improvement.
Did you expect to win this year?
Not really. No, not really.
What did you have for breakfast this morning? Do you have any good luck traditions before your races?
So just to pray to God.
I love that video. It's
so
one of my
much.
Favorites. I absolutely love it.
I feel
it.
Like it's always fun to like see kids like now that are, you know, in high school or college, even to see them when they were back as kids at AAU, like doing the little interviews, because I mean, they're just little kids.
They're little kids. I absolutely love it.
So, you know, obviously we showed that interview, but like, did you ever imagine that you would, you know, in your journey, you would go from being just a kid running AAU and kind of starring at that level to already, as just a high school sophomore, being one of those top guys that people talk about in high school track and field? You know, what has that journey been like for you?
I can't like believe like where I am right now. Things have changed, like you said, extremely fast. My family being on my side, my sister, who runs college and college track. She's been there. Family that's been there. And number one, the God, he's been there for me, and he's the most important aspect in my life. And with that, he's just guided me to success, and I can't wait to see what else I have in store. But I don't want to rush it too fast because you have to stay in the limelight, but be able to stay humble. And that's one of the main things that my family keeps me humble, and a lot of coaches, friends that are there for me, and my coach as well, Coach Lee. He's always been there, and he looks out for me like I'm his son. So with that, I can't, there's no limits. There's no limits, and I can't I can't wait. I can't wait to run. It just, I can't explain how much I am to run. I'm so antsy right now. I'm ready to run.
Okay, final last question that's kind of off of that. Is waffles, eggs, and ham still your go-to meat day breakfast, the same that thing that you ate as a 9-year-old? That's the final hard question here.
Well, I'm not gonna lie, I do love waffles. Sometimes the hotel eggs are not that good, so I don't really eat the eggs, but bacon's really good, but not too greasy. But I love omelets now, and so now that I know that the hotel we're gonna be at, they had really good omelets, so I get to eat a good omelet before I race. So I don't run till 6:45 at night, so I'm probably gonna eat a breakfast, lunch, and possibly a little bit of dinner so before I run.
So I guess the way to fuel like Quincy Wilson is to eat an omelet on your meat day. Okay, I'm going to keep that in mind for when I, you know, am running track races someday.
Well, Quincy, thank you so much for joining us. It's always a pleasure to see you. I will be at the VA Showcase along with Corey this weekend. Ashley will be holding it down remotely, but I will see you on the ground in Virginia. Safe travels to y'all, and I'll see you in a couple days, probably tomorrow, because we'll be at the track.
See y'all.
Bye. Thank you.
Awesome. It's really nice, like you said, when you see them at literally just little kids and you get to watch them grow and hear Quincy is just doing crazy.
It's so funny because I remember, I think back in the summer, I was looking back at old AAU interviews and there were plenty with like, you know, people that are pros now. Like, I mean, you can look back and find things with the thing Mo.
Yes.
You know, the list goes on. I mean, I think also too, we were talking about Nick Harbor, who was a star. Now he's playing football and track at South Carolina. Like, you can find videos of him when he was, like, 8 years old. Like, it's always funny.
It's funny. Mm-hmm. Yes. All right, let's go ahead and dive into the rest of our show.
To talk about. I feel like we've kind of divided it into parts, though.
Yes.
Like, I feel like this first part, we're going to go through just a bunch of different breaking news things that have happened over the past, week or so?
Yes.
And then
just
we're going
to
go into...
haven't had an episode to kind of
talk. And then we're going to break down indoor season, I think. Talk about some cool matchups that we're excited for.
Yes.
And then a little bit more about marathon. Because we're coming up on the U.S. Olympic trials.
Yes. So lots of things to unpack here. So first thing on the dock after Quincy is Tejas Katemba runs the fastest woman's debut marathon in history. And this was just mind-blowing to me because the fact that, like, when you look at what Katemba has done, like, the furthest that she's ever competed in has been the 10K. So you're going from the 10K all the way to the full marathon and pretty much setting a whole standard of the fastest debut time in history.
Yeah, that's
2:16.07.
Yeah, let's talk about this. So Tejas Katemba, as Olivia mentioned, I think she's 25 now.
Yes.
But when she, if you look at her history as an athlete, she began, you know, during her U20 career, she was an 800-meter runner. She ran, I think, 2:02 for the 800 or something like that and was, I believe, a medalist at World Juniors back in 2016. And so now she all of a sudden decides to make this huge jump up to the marathon. And not only does she run the fastest debut marathon in history for women of 2:16.07 at the Dumont, and that was in Dubai.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she does that, but that's also the 8th fastest marathon ever.
It's insane.
Which is crazy to think about. I mean, sure, Dubai, that's a pretty fast course. Like, that's a place where you can run a fast time. But I don't think even herself expected something like this.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think when you make that big jump, it could be so intimidating. I think I read, like, a quote from somewhere where she was like, I was just so nervous. But then, I don't know why I was nervous. And I think everyone kind of has that feeling of just, like, when you do something that extraordinary, like, meaning, like, you're used to run, let's just, you know, 10K. Like, you're used to running a certain amount of distance, training for a certain amount of time, to then all of a sudden go the furthest distance you can possibly, you know, achieve, 26.2 miles. That's absolutely nuts.
And I think I also saw, too, in a recap article that her coach thought that maybe she was going to run like 2:15 or something. Like, going into the race, he thought maybe she could run 2:15, which that's like a crazy statement to say there. But then she runs 2:16. So, like, he was pretty much right on the nose with that.
Right,
but
yeah.
Let's also talk about the men's side of the Dubai Marathon. Again, another, I think, interesting story here. You have 19-year-old Adisu Gobena. He runs 2:05.01 to win this marathon. He's from Ethiopia. He's the Ethiopian, and he used to be a javelin thrower until like 2 years ago when I think his aunt convinced him to go into running. And so now you have the storyline of a former javelin thrower becoming a 205 marathoner. Like,
that's wild.
I don't know.
That's wild to me.
Dubai had a lot of interesting storylines, I think.
Like, how do you, again, I just think that's so interesting. You never hear these kinds of stories. So I'm trying to wrap my head around like a javelin thrower wanting to commit to
a big switch
going from, you know, short runway to now 26.2 miles.
I don't know if I would make that shift if I were a javelin thrower.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I could.
No.
I don't know if I could.
No.
But in other news also, kind of just like on the same path, like Beatrice Chebet smashed the women's 5K road world record, which was absolutely insane, at the Cursa dels Nassos in Barcelona in 14:13. And this was right before the New Year. Way to end.
New Year's Eve.
Way to end 2023.
She was like, I am going to end 2023 on the highest of notes. And I feel like that's talk about a power move. Like, going out like that, I mean, we all know Beatrice Chebet, the Kenyan, she has been sensational in distance running. And so what better way to do this than run 14:13? I believe the previous record was 14:29, which had been held for a couple years.
Yeah.
So she goes there, crushes that. Insane.
Insane. Kind of also on a side note with that, in that same race, there was a U20 mark that also dropped from an 18-year-old, Medina Issa, also from Ethiopia, finished fifth in that race with a 14:40. And like, she ran 6 seconds faster than the previous record, which was set back 2 years ago in April. So lots of things dropping before the new year.
Yeah.
And here we are.
I think it's, honestly, though, I feel like it's a perfect way to segue into 2024, which is such a big year for so many different reasons.
Yes, absolutely. All right. Kind of switching gears, of course, I feel like I gotta have more Bowerman talk.
When do we ever stop talking about Bowerman at this point?
I don't know. It's just very interesting how it's just like more names are popping up. So who's the most recent person that has said that they're leaving?
Let's just add another one to the list, am
yes.
I right? So you have Courtney Frericks, obviously been, she holds the American record in the steeplechase and has been so consistent throughout her career. She announced her departure from the Bowerman Track Club, I believe on New Year's Day, around that time frame, going into the new year. She said, you know, it's time for a change. And, you know, kudos to, I want to shout out to Let's Run. They had actually a very great Q&A with Courtney where she really opened up about just what went into this decision for her. Because I think, you know, a lot of times when you make such a big change like that, it's easy to just kind of close off. And she was very transparent and open about why she wanted to move. You know, I think when the Bowerman Track Club moved from Portland to Eugene, that, you know, that caused, you know, some issues for her and her family. And then just different, you know, she's different training too. So I think there were a lot of factors going into this. And so now she's going to be training with Alistair and Amy Krog. So that's great.
Yeah. I feel like it's really challenging, especially when you've been with a track club or with a team for an extensive period of time. Like, I believe she's been with that program for 7 successful seasons. And I know she's going to still be with Nike, still be with Garmin Running. But it's hard. It's challenging to kind of take that jump when you've formed a family like that to be like, okay, I need to take a step back, analyze the situation, what's going to be best for me and for my future. And again, this is an Olympic year. Like, this is where everyone's going to be putting everything together. And so it's just hard. Like, we saw Grant Fisher leave, Elise Craney, Cooper Tier, gone. Yep. Then you have Matt Sentwitz, Woody Kincaid, Marco Scott also departed. So, like, it's just slowly trickling away.
Yeah, like you said, I think it takes a lot of courage. And again, this is a big year. Courtney's been someone who, over the past couple of years, she's unfortunately dealt with some injuries and some other, I think, iron issues. And so this is her year to really, hey, like, I need to be fit this year with hopes of chasing those dreams again of going back to the Olympics yet again, because she's been multiple times. I mean, she's a silver medalist from Tokyo. And so I think this was a big step for her. And I'm really excited to see what she does, to be honest.
Same. And I think there's been a lot of changes across the board with people training with different coaches. So, again, I think we had this conversation a few episodes ago, like back in November, December, where I was just, I think we, was it with Fred? I think it might have been when we were talking about
Maybe,
Fred.
Yeah.
And I was just like, this is so interesting. Like, Olympic year, you're taking a bold move. But, like, now that I've seen Fred do it, I've seen other athletes outside of Bowerman Track Club kind of, like, make their way to different, you know, coaching.
They're putting all their eggs in one basket,
right? And I feel like that's almost a huge risk, too, because you don't know if it's going to work.
It's a risk, but it's also a risk that, hey, if it works out, it works out in a huge way.
Exactly.
So I think it's, honestly, I think all the pros right now are just really trying to line everything up to put them in the best situation as possible.
I agree. Okay, I don't know if this is on a lighter note, but on a different note. I don't know how to take it. It's just like, I feel it's great news. Like, it's great news. I just think it's odd timing. What month is it? January. But like last month or the month before in November, you know, Caitlin Toohey made the decision to go pro. We all know that. Kind of in the middle, I want to say middle of the season of like 2023, 2024. Did it right after cross country, after a great, you know, last couple years at NC State. Now we have Kenneth Rooks of BYU making his announcement that he is going pro.
Yes.
Signed a professional contract with Nike. He's the NCAA and USATF steeplechase champion, also competed at Worlds last year. Again, for me, this is the weird timing.
How's this weird timing?
I feel like it's like the middle of the season.
They haven't even started. New year, indoor hasn't started. I think this actually, I think this makes a lot of sense in my brain. If you think about it, he has so much momentum in his favor. He won NCAAs in the steeplechase. He won USAs in the steeplechase in an incredible feat where I believe he fell and then still came back to win, and he went to Worlds. And obviously this is a huge year with the Olympics. And if you look at the U.S. men's steeplechase, how it's been in the past couple of years, it has been so wide open. So wide open for anyone to come in there and make a team or win USAs, win trials. And so he says, okay, I'm going to devote all of my time to making sure I am the fittest as I can be and race ready for trials for the Olympics, because this is his chance to lead the U.S. contingent in the men's steeplechase.
I just think it's odd timing.
I think for me,
I think because, again, it's the sprinter mentality in me. You don't hear sprinters middle of the year being like, I'm going pro.
But it's not middle of the year. It's their transition period. He ran his final cross season with his team. Makes sense. I believe he was an All-American there, NCAA's cross. Yeah. You have that, then boom. All right, before I'm going to get into indoor, let's just go ahead and switch gears. I think that's perfectly... Caitlin Toohey basically did the same thing. She just announced it a month earlier. So
I know. And again, for me, I was like, okay. But for me to rationalize kind of Caitlin Toohey was like, okay, it's been a year anniversary since she signed her NIL deal with Adidas. So I'm like, okay.
This still makes plenty of sense.
That might not even be true.
Since when
are
we in the middle of indoor season? We've had like 1 week of indoor
competition. I'm saying middle of like the 2023-2024 like season, like collegiate year.
Well, you have to think about it from a distance perspective.
I know, that's what I'm saying. So
you have to divide it by three seasons.
I know. So that's why I said my sprinter mind is like, this is odd timing for me, because you will. I guarantee you a sprinter is not going to come out and say we're going pro right now.
Kenneth Rooks is no sprinter, so.
I know. That's why I'm like, okay, this just feels odd.
I really like the move because, again, I think he's really trying to put himself in that situation where he could be the leader of the U.S. team for the steeplechase.
Okay, I agree. I'm not arguing there.
Yeah, we're just talking. Just chatting.
The pro commitment is throwing me off.
All right.
Because I almost want to be like, just finish the year.
But now he doesn't have to worry about. He can just literally focus on running.
That's very true.
For the entire year. Because this January through May, June period, that's where you're going to build and work all your fitness and everything looking ahead to trials. So.
But he's doing that now.
Yeah, but now he's just only running. He can focus on the recovery. Like he can have the pro runner life where all you do is you run and recover. Which you can't always do to that great extent when you're in college.
That's very true. Yes.
So, that's my take.
That's Ashley's take.
Yep.
Yes. So, two people have gone pro from the distance side. We'll just wait and see for a sprinter to come up and say, we're going pro. All right. As we move on, we have a lot of heavy stars, beautiful, bright side, shining stars heading to Millrose Games, which is going to be absolutely loaded.
Yes, because we're only about
races.
1 month away. That's like Millrose Games. I mean, that's kind of like the pinnacle of the indoor season, I feel like.
Yes.
It's one of the biggest meets out there, and we're starting to see those athletes' names be released about who are going to compete, and boy, I don't know about you, I'm really excited.
Oh, man. Okay, let's talk about the mile first, because we both agree on an athlete that we're looking forward to watching at this distance.
Well, it's been announced that Yara Nuguse will be returning to the Wanamaker Mile, and he returns after shattering the American record at this event last year at Millrose, 1:347.38. I watched that race last year, and I just remember, like, it was so exciting. The way you saw him surge over the past, over the, like, two laps or so 400 meters.
Yeah.
Incredible to watch. And so now he will return to the Armory in Millrose Games, and now he's trying to take aim at Yomi Kajelka's indoor world record of 3:47.01, which obviously he's very close to.
Mm.
And as we saw last year, I would say last year was the year of Yara Nagus. I also think 2024 will be the year of Yara Nagus. So hey, I'm really excited.
Our new year hopeful, you know?
1,500-meter gold medal.
1,500 gold medal. It starts with these moments here of just, you know, getting those fine-tuning things out of the way when it comes to indoor. That's why I kind of love indoor season. Just kind of helps you to get sharp for the bigger races to come. Before we talk about your next athlete, I think the 60-meter hurdle race is just absolutely stacked.
Agreed.
Like, we're talking a handful of people that were in the finals at Worlds, including Danielle Williams, who was the world champ. You also have Kenny Harrison, who was the bronze medalist, also former world record holder in the 100-meter hurdles. You have Devin Charlton, fourth at Worlds. Akira Nugent, fifth at Worlds. You have Nia Ali, who was eighth. Alaysia Johnson, who really just excelled last year and put herself out there in this mix. Tia Jones, Masai Russell, as Quincy Wilson said, like someone that he's looking up to. I don't even know what to say. I'm just like, it's just going to be, it's almost like another world final.
Yeah.
Essentially, that's what it is.
I guess going into this, obviously, I think the question is who is going to get out the best? Because in an event like the 60, it really depends on how do you get out. I mean, I'm not a sprinter or a hurdler, but that's kind of how I see it. And you can correct me if I'm wrong. But I'm just curious. We're going to have to see how these girls get out of the blocks and attack those first few hurdles. And I'm just excited. It's going to be crazy.
My intuition's like Danielle Williams, because obviously she's coming off
a big year
gold medal. But I'm not counting out Kenny Harrison. The way that she ran, and I'm just thinking about like the rounds going into Worlds, like dropping the fastest time ever in the rounds, because she's like, I'm executing. Like, that's her vision. I'm executing what I'm going to do in that final. That's how she thinks. Mm-hmm. She's sharp. So I'm also not going to count out Kenny Harrison for this
one. I mean,
one.
If you look at this field, you have a bunch of all-timers, also some up-and-coming athletes who have been stars at the collegiate level. I think of, like, Masai Russell there.
Yes.
I think it's going to be very spicy.
Very, very spicy. See, now we just need pepper emoji. Spice emoji.
Yeah, again, we got to figure out how we can drop emojis
We need to do that.
On the screen.
Awesome. All right, final race that we're looking forward to.
I think we got to go to the 2-mile.
Yeah.
Especially if you look at the men's 2-mile. Josh Kerr is going to be running this event, which I think is very exciting. Obviously, we all know the drama that happened when he won the 1,500-meter gold medal at the World Championships, beating out Jakob Ingebrigtsen. So last year, he ran Millrose, and I believe he ran the 3K there. He won, I believe it was a meet record and an armory facility record there in that 3K. Now this year, instead of the 3K, Millrose is going to have a 2-mile, and so he's going to apparently aim for the world record in this event. I believe that record is 8:03.40. So we'll have to see how that goes.
Are we about to see multiple world records at Millrose?
I'm not counting anything out, man. I think it could happen. Who knows? We all know Josh Kerr is someone who's just very dialed into his process and how he approaches training and each race and each day. And so if anyone can do it, I think he can. I think he has the moxie to do it.
I feel like if it's going to happen, and I don't want to say this is the year to do it, but this is the year to do it. You're preparing for the Olympics. I feel like
it's just the stepping stone.
The stepping stone.
Yeah.
Just get after it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm all for it. I'm all for witnessing this with my own
two
eyes.
That is what you wanted to see this year, world record.
Yes.
So.
Hey, I'm all for it. Okay. Kind of switching gears, but
not really.
Not really. Gosh, I'm looking forward to this race. There's the latest matchup that's going to take place in February at the New Balance Grand Prix in the 60. The one and only Fred Curley and Noah Lyles. Like, boy. Like, this is where the whole screen just needs to have fire
like,
emojis.
I'm curious. Fred Curley's first ever 60 meters.
And
he never ran it in
mind-blowing
never
to
ran
me.
It in college, like, which is crazy.
That is mind-blowing to me.
Yeah.
But I definitely know at A&M, he did run on
he was more of a 400 runner.
But he was more of a 4 runner, 2-4 guy. Now we're going into this I don't want to say transition, but we're seeing Fred take on this 100.
Which he's been doing the past, what, couple years.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But here you have Noah, who's established himself mm-hmm. as definitely the two, but like, hey, I can also toe the yeah. line with these yeah. really short sprinters in this 100. I'm just really curious on...
I'm curious because I'm thinking back to Worlds, right? I feel like one of the big conversations and some of the rounds and stuff is like in the 100. Noah Lyles, we all know, and he will admit it himself, sometimes getting out of those blocks, not his strong suit.
Right.
Not his strong suit.
Right.
In an event like the 60, you cannot waste time getting out of those blocks. There is no time to waste.
Nope.
So I'm just curious to see, hey, has he worked on this in the off season going into this? And how will Fred respond? Like, what's he been doing behind the scenes to get ready? Also trying to get out quick. And will he challenge or will Noah all of a sudden have this really great start? I'm curious.
So Noah comes in with a personal best of 6:51, which he actually ran at this meet last year to win the title. And then in the like his very first 60-meter race of the year, he went 6:56. If you were right now to call who's winning it, are you saying Fred? Are you saying Noah?
I don't know. It's hard to bet against either athlete, you know, because I feel like they both have that confidence that is needed to get a big win like this.
You know cannot mess up this block start.
I'm gonna go the hot take pick. I'm gonna go Fred. I'll say Fred.
Is it really a hot take though?
Yeah, because Noah is the favorite going in. I feel like if you go against Noah, who's the world 100 champion, the world 200 champion, if you pick anyone else besides him, that's a hot take. Fred has never ran a 60 before. Yes, we know he's been excelling in the 100, you know, more than excelling at the 100 over the past couple years. But I think it's his chance. And I also think that not making that 100 team for Worlds is potentially that motivation he needed to really attack this offseason. And I think he's going to be coming out all guns a-blazing. However, he's got to work on some things from what I saw from U.S. trials. He's got to work on a few things. I hope he's been working on a few things. I will say that. But it is one of those situations where he's never ran this, so maybe, who knows? I don't know.
My brain is, like, torn because, for me, when I think of the 60, right, it's part of the 100 race. It's part of your execution. So I know Fred could run a 60.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like he can run a 60.
Oh, yeah.
If I was to compare starts, now, during the rounds, Fred,
He looked a little rough.
He looked rough coming out of his starts. But, like, I'm going in maybe with the mentality that he thought, like, he could kind of cruise.
Yeah, through
and
the rounds.
Get through and make it. Let's take away that away. Take that part away. I honestly don't think that Fred is not... Like, I almost want to say I think Fred could take this.
So we're on the same page.
But in the back of my mind also, I know the season that Noah just had, he's
And we always know Noah, he's, like, on his game.
And he knows how to compete. Not saying Fred doesn't know, but, like,
I mean,
the
we've
level
seen
of
him.
Confidence
yeah.
right now,
yeah.
if I was to be, like, if they were standing in front of me, I'd be like, Noah's definitely the confident one.
Yeah.
As he should be.
Yeah, he has every reason to be confident.
But...
It's going to be interesting. I'll say Fred again, just because I kind of want to go for the quote-unquote underdog, but we'll see.
Okay. If I was to pick right now...
Liv, you have to make a decision.
Well,
no, you can't make decisions.
I guess I'll
but...
go Noah. I feel like we have to offset each other.
Okay.
Noah,
Fred. All right.
Noah,
we'll see how it turns out on February 4th.
All right.
Less than a month away.
Less than a month away. And speaking of less than a month away, literally this weekend. We have some things to look out for at the Houston Half Marathon. The men's and women's elite fields are interesting.
I think interesting is a great word.
Great way to describe it.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the men's side.
Yes.
Because I think that is honestly the most interesting one.
Yeah, it's kind of complicated, so I'll try my best to explain
yes.
the situation.
Explain the situation for us, Ashley.
So
as the best
obviously.
Ability.
You look at this, Houston Half Marathon, and you see some of the names entered here, like Galen Rupp, and you're like, oh, but the Olympic trials for the marathoner in a few weeks. Why is he messing around and running the Houston half? Well, he's not messing around, right? That's because he's running this with hopes that he can increase his road to Paris ranking for potential eligibility for the marathon in Paris. I won't get into all to the nitty gritty, but that's just kind of like the bottom line of it. Now, you know, I was doing some research, and before Dubai, there's a chance that he can move up to number 64. I believe if he ran 60.47 or faster. However, I think Dubai altered the rankings for Road to Paris. So we'll see how it goes. So basically, he can get a certain amount of points to move up the rankings based on how he performs in Houston. And I believe there's bonus points for if he finishes first, second, or third.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the mindset there for him. Now, if you're looking at the women's side, it's a little bit different. You have just athletes that want to go out there and compete, I think. You have Helen O'Beery, who she's obviously the Boston Marathon and New York City Marathon champion. She's going to look to take home that title and I think just kind of get back out there, get back in the racing game. You're going to have Sarah Hall, who will also be one of the top contenders on the spot for Team USA for the Olympic marathon team. You're going to have Wayne Colati making her half marathon debut.
Yep.
Very interesting. You're also going to have Tristan Van Oort and Nell Rojas running this race for the women's field for the U.S. There's just a lot of names. There's a lot of interesting storylines. What else are you looking at?
It's just Galen Rupp for me.
That's just it? That's just it?
It is Galen Rupp for me. I'm a huge Galen Rupp fan. But when you look at just where he's kind of been at, he's run two races in 2023. He ran the New York City half, which was in March, and then also ran the Chicago Marathon in October. So here it's just kind of like we're going out in hopes, crossing our fingers, that we can move up in these rankings.
Yeah. Because let's be honest.
What is the likelihood that this could actually...
I don't know.
Touching your laptop over here.
We're not saying because things are just getting messy.
Yeah.
And they have been messy for specifically this men's marathon team selection for Team USA.
Yes.
Like, I just don't know what else to say. Actually, maybe this is the time where we shift gears from Houston to then just talking about that process because there's been changes.
Yeah. I'm overwhelmed by the changes being made. I feel like there's no clear direction.
Well,
how do you have one thing and then later have another change?
Here's the issue, right?
And the thing is, it's the Olympic year. Like, I feel like this needed to be established.
Yes, but I think the issue is they didn't realize, or I bet USATF probably didn't think that we would be going into 2024 and only having two men having that auto, you know, unlocking their spots for the Olympic roster.
Mm-hmm.
That being Connor Mance and Clayton Young, because they both have that Olympic standard there.
Yes.
And so now we're a month away from the trials, and
yes,
we only have two quote-unquote guarantees. And so now it's like, all right, how can we try to see to make sure we can get a third person in? So now this is, I believe it was last week or the end of the new year, like right before January hit, they decided to change the selection process just a bit, and I'll try my best to explain this because it gets really kind of complicated. Basically, yeah, like I said, it gets complicated. Now, the deadline to get within the top 80 for the Road to Paris rankings to hopefully, you know, get all these men's spots on the U.S. team to go to Paris is now May 5th. So we now have this potential that we may not know the full men's, or maybe women's, but the women's on the American side is a little bit more cut and dry, I think, for seeing the top three of trials going on to the Olympics. We may not know exactly who all is going to the Olympics until May 5th for the men. Like I said, so far, only Connor Mance and Clayton Young have unlocked those spots. But the thing is, they have to run, in order to go on and maybe unlock that spot, you have to run under 2:11:30 in Orlando, or have already done so.
Yeah.
And so basically, obviously, the great scenario is you have Orlando, you have Connor Mance, Clayton Young, then someone else, you know, you run under 2:11:30 in Orlando, boom, there you go. Those are your three guys, you're sending them off. But it's Orlando, so who knows what the weather's going to be like, and, you know, you have to hope for...
It's going to be humid. It's going to be humid in Orlando.
That's my prediction.
Prepare to sweat the whole time.
But let's just hope... You'd also have to hope for an honest, fast race, too, which sometimes in those situations you may not get. It may be more tactical.
Yeah.
However, because of the May 5th deadline, it just keeps going, the explanation. People can now go and chase the ranking and time that they need. So someone gets into the top three that runs, I believe, that runs 2:11:30 or below, but doesn't have that ranking that they need, they can then go to, say, Boston, London Marathon, for a quick time and rise up the rankings, get into that top 80. However, you can't go and do that, chase the ranking, if you haven't already hit sub 2:11:30. You're looking at me like this makes no sense at all.
I understand it, but I'm just like, why do we have to now make this so complicated?
I mean, it's
the key is you got to go to 11:30.
So just basically, the crazy
get
thing.
Get a sticky note, write 2:11:30 on your mirror so you see it every day, and do what you need to do in Orlando. Fight like, the humidity.
I'm just hoping that everything goes to plan and like we don't, it doesn't get messy because like.
Because now I'm like.
Because if we have to wait until May 5th to know who all is on this team.
That's gonna be so weird
because you know if you think about it, typically you run the trials, then oh my god, top three! Like we gotta celebrate. You get the Olympic flags. Like can you even give out Olympic flags? Like the little flags that you wave around.
Oh no, that's right. Yeah. I didn't think about that.
I know,
but that makes it all that more real.
And I mean, I get it. Like USA, the team USA wants to be able to send three people, not two, but three. Because when do we ever send two people an event now? Like, never.
Right.
We want to take advantage of all three spots. But, like, again, just all the changes and complications. If you look at it, like, the trials this year, it's been so messy. Because you had the whole start time issue. And that's kind of where it all started. Moving back from noon to 10. And then just the whole drama.
Of the
especially
location.
On the men's side.
Yeah.
The location. The men's side again because only Connor and Clayton have that standard, and so now it's like goodness gracious, it's almost exhausting.
I'm
like, just talking
just
about it and thinking about
this,
yeah.
Uh-huh. And I'm not even running it. I feel it's almost like getting top three is not enough, which we kind of like the standards. I understand, right?
Yeah,
that's always been there. Standards have always been there, but it's just like 2:11:30, but potentially. That might, may or may not be enough. It's almost, now I have to invest in running in another marathon, like doing it
potentially,
again.
Potentially. That's. I really hope that doesn't happen, though.
I know.
Let's hope for a very fast Orlando race, and everyone runs really fast, so. And everyone's in the top whatever ranking.
But see, the thing is, I don't think it's, because there's two sides of this, because it's like you want to be tactical so you can actually. But I guess the overall picture is you can't run it tactically. You literally just have to run.
Let's just hope we have a very interesting,
blazing
fast race. I don't know. We'll see. TBD.
All right. Any other updates about U.S. marathon trials?
I do think we should mention, too, that unfortunately we did have some news coming out that Emma Bates will not race the trials due to injury, which is obviously very unfortunate, but I think she's kind of shifting her gear. She's now going to run the Boston Marathon in April, now that she isn't, you know, contesting the trials, hoping to come back from injury. It does kind of shake things up, though, on the women's side, because she was definitely among those top five contenders going into the trials, vying for those three spots for Team USA.
Right.
So, you know, that's just, for some of those athletes, it's almost like the field opens up a little bit.
Yeah. That's all the news.
Wow, I feel like we're ending on such a dull note.
Dull note. I'm like, how do I make this?
I know how to make this better, actually.
Yes. Go ahead, Ashley.
We have a couple live events coming this weekend that you can tune in for.
Yes.
Let's break that down. I know I mentioned earlier when we were talking to Quincy Wilson that we will be having the VA Showcase live streamed Friday, Saturday, and Sunday on both Flow Track and Mile Split. And so if you want to go watch Quincy Wilson tear up that 500 or any of your other favorite high school athletes run some top times nationally in the country, be sure to tune in. And then we're also going to have the Jimmy Carnes Invitational down in Gainesville live on Flow Track. So we have some indoor action coming your way. I'm super excited for it. I'll be on my computer all weekend watching it happen, and so you better do the same.
Yes, and I forgot to mention this at the top of the show.
What?
I remembered it during Quincy's interview. This is our new time slot.
We should probably. Oh, that's right. Yeah, we should probably tell everyone.
We should probably let y'all know. So Wednesdays at 11 a.m. Central.
12 p.m. Eastern.
12 p.m. noon Eastern. This is where you can find us.
Yes.
Every week. Wednesday moving forward at those
Let's
times.
Let's pray it doesn't change.
Yes. I think we're.
I think we're locked in on this.
I think we're locked in. Shout out to Amanda Geyer, our wonderful producer, for all the things that she does. Yes. And shout out to you too, because you do great things.
Thank you. You do too.
So I think that wraps it up for our very first episode of 2024.
Yes.
We will very see exciting. Y'all right here in our studio suite next week, 11 a.m. Again, great content coming out. As Ashley mentioned, we have a lot of great live streams that are coming into play, so you can check all of that on FlowTrack, VA Showcase, which I will be leaving tomorrow morning in Virginia. So great things to happen. Kicking off some sprints. Indoor season's here.
Indoor season is here. That's
I'm
right.
I'm pumped. All right, y'all. Enjoy the rest of your week, and we'll see you next week Wednesday.